Well, good morning, everybody. I just want to make one announcement. We all know there will be no Bible study next week, right? I just want to make sure everybody knows that so you don't drive all the way here. Once a year, Sandy McIntosh and Jean McClure and all those girls, they put on a retreat for women's leadership. And so all of us will be on that retreat next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So I think it's the 14th is the one after that. So that's when we'll be meeting. Let's see what else. And you can pray for me. They've asked me to do a workshop at the Pastor's Wives Retreat. Yeah. Ooh. And so I'll be teaching on Tuesday and Wednesday, and I'm kind of nervous, never done that before. So I thought Amanda did a great job last week with Wisdom and Folly, right? These are some incredible topics, and they're fun topics. Proverbs is an incredible book. It's filled with so much wisdom. And one of my friends is rewriting the Proverbs study for her grandchildren so that they can learn this at their level. I thought, that's brilliant. I mean, I almost want to make one for kids because we made one for us, you know? But anyway, I just think it's wonderful that God's using it. And they're giving them to the teenagers. It's going to go all over. God's word has wings. If we're faithful to do what he asks us to do, he just makes it go wherever he wants it to go. And so I really appreciated Amanda last week. She talked about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that knowledge comes, but wisdom lingers. I thought that was good when she said that. Knowledge comes. We can get an education and all that. But wisdom lingers. It stays with you. Wisdom is humble, while folly is prideful. That got me. I was like, ooh, I want to remember that one. And there is no wisdom apart from God. I just thought she did a great job last week with that. And I just wanted to show you this book. It's an old book, so you probably can't buy it unless you go on eBay or something. But years ago, I was a young mom. It was 1986. And I just felt like I'd gotten sloppy in my walk with the Lord, and I just wasn't really growing. I felt stagnant. And so I bought this book. It's called Intimate Friendship with God Through Understanding the Fear of the Lord. And this book blew my socks off. It woke me up from my slumber and had me wanting to live a life that would please Jesus Christ with all of my being. And so I just wanted to recommend that to you. It's an old one, so it might only be on eBay, but it's Intimate Friendship with God Through Understanding the Fear of the Lord, and it's written by an incredible woman named Joy Dawson. So I just wanted to show you that while we're up here, and let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the girls that did the worship, Lord. I pray a special blessing on them as they have little ones, and their lives are so full, and yet, Lord, they prepare, they seek you, they have humble hearts to want to serve you, Lord. I just pray that you'd bless them for leading us into worship. And now, Lord, as we approach this topic, the fear of the Lord, I pray that you would speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would do a work in this room, that we would want more of you and less of the world. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Ephesians 3:17, I just think this is an incredible verse. Paul said, he prayed that they would be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ would dwell in their hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depths, and know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and be filled with the fullness of God. This was our theme from our conference last year here at church, Rooted in Christ. And I just thought this was a perfect way to start out this message this morning. So how does Christ dwell in my heart? How do I know the love of Christ? And how am I filled with the fullness of God? I want all that. Yes, yes and amen. I say yes. I want all that Paul said. But how do I do it? How do I get it? And I think it's by walking in the fear of the Lord and living for an audience of one. That we care more about what God thinks than what we think. We care more about what God thinks than what our husband thinks or our family thinks or our boss thinks. It's almost like a filter that we put on our soul that we want to please the Lord Jesus Christ with every ounce of our being. But to grasp this fear of the Lord, we must understand what the fear of the Lord really is. Because the shade is right on me here. Because without that, we may misunderstand what it's not. Then, often, when we hear a phrase like the fear of the Lord, we think it means to be afraid of God. And that can't be true. But that it's not the case. God created us for his pleasure and for intimate fellowship with himself. For the Christian, this fear is not about terror or distance. It's about reverence and deep respect of his holiness and love. Psalm 33, 8 through 9 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood forth." We are to fear God because of who he is, because of his majesty, that every morning he makes the sun rise. And he makes it go down in the evening, that he keeps the tides moving, that the Bible says that he flung the stars out into the sky and gave every one of them a name. That's the God that we serve. The first step in fearing God is to pause and stand in awe, considering the limitless power and supreme authority of the one who by his word alone spoke the universe into existence. That's powerful stuff. So the first step is to stand in awe of God. If we want to learn to fear the Lord, number one, stand in awe of who he is, his majesty, his holiness, his perfection, all that he is. And then Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord, if you're looking for what is the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That's what Proverbs says. So that's the second step. We must understand that God cannot tolerate sin, and he doesn't want us to tolerate it either, because Isaiah 59:2 says that it separates us from God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want anything between getting in the way of me and my Lord. Maybe the reason we are constantly tempted to commit sin is because we secretly love it and do not hate it, like God says. The only way to be free from sin is to have God's attitude toward it. So if we want to fear the Lord, number one, we have to stand in awe of him and give him full reign and power, that he is majestic, full of holiness, perfect, knows all, sees all, understands all, and his plan is the best. And number two, we need to hate sin the way he hates it. Habakkuk 1:13 says, "Your eyes are too pure. You cannot look on wickedness with favor." And I don't know about you, but I want God's favor in my life. I want as much of God's favor as he can pour out on me. And so I want to get rid of any sin that he might show me that would get in the way of that. So what is the fear of the Lord? Simply put, it's to stand in awe of God and hate sin. Stand in awe of God and hate sin the way God hates it. When we truly fear God, when we revere him for who he is, we obey him. But when we don't, we follow our own way, and in doing so, we miss out on the deep, intimate relationship with him and the blessings that come from walking in his will. So keeping that fear of the Lord, living for an audience of one, at the forefront of our minds every single day as we walk through this life, creates an intimacy with God that will give us strength and blessings. To the believer, it's a sense of profound reverence and respect for God rather than a feeling of terror. Seeing him in his holiness and power leads us to have a desire to obey and please him with our whole hearts because we know his way is better. You like that song? Do you know the song Forrest Frank, His Way Is Better? It's a good one if you haven't heard it. We learn that his way is better, and the nearness of God is our good. So if we fear him and obey him, our lives will be blessed. The Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the starting point where we recognize his holiness and perfection. As we see God for who he truly is, we're humbled. We realize that we're not all that, and that we're not in charge, that he is. We become deeply aware of our complete dependence on him. This reverence produces a profound respect that doesn't just shape our attitudes. It begins to direct our steps and create the new, abundant life that Jesus promised. As we listen hard and obey, then we receive the abundant life that living in his presence produces. Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord teaches wisdom, and humility precedes honor." Humility precedes honor. I think it's Proverbs also that says, "With the humble is wisdom." And so we have to humble ourselves. Sometimes we can get pretty full of ourselves, at least I can. And we need to learn to humble ourselves before God and listen hard. Humility is what leads us into the fear of the Lord. Even when we don't understand, humility allows us to stand in the place God has us and say, "Not my will, but thy will be done." To not blame shift or run or scream or whatever reactions we might have when it gets uncomfortable, but we would stand right where we are and say, "Not my will, but thy will be done." We learn to walk in the fear of the God. We also learn to surrender and wait for his direction. We're not so quick to react. We want to respond with patient wisdom. Psalm 134 says, "There is forgiveness with you." The psalmist, he said, "There's forgiveness with you. Therefore, I fear you." In other words, you've forgiven me. Therefore, I love you. I respect you. I honor you. Your name is above all names. There is forgiveness with you. Therefore, I fear you. He alone forgives us. And you know, if you think about it, the problems in our society, all the problems that we have, most of them, a lot of them are relational. And it's because people make mistakes and they do stupid stuff and they say stupid stuff. And then they hate themselves for it. And so there's nothing greater than knowing that you have a God who loves you with all of his heart. And that forgiveness is waiting for you every minute of every day if we ask for it. And so I think of people that don't know the Lord. Okay, well, what do you do? If you sleep around with a bunch of guys and you feel guilty about it or whatever, okay, well, then I'm going to drink. I don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to feel shame. So I need to drink and drink so I don't feel the pain of those mistakes in my life. Or do drugs or whatever to numb the pain in our lives. They live in guilt and shame, but what they need is the fear of the Lord, because he's the one who forgives. He casts all our sin in the sea of forgetfulness, right? He washes us whiter than snow. The single greatest thing that's ever happened to me in my life is that God has forgiven my sin and doesn't hold my trespasses against me. Every single day, however I screw up, I can go before the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have acted that way. I shouldn't have said that." And go untie the knot with the person that I tied a knot with. Because of this forgiveness, I am offered an intimate relationship with the God of the universe. Because of this great forgiveness that he gave me and washed me clean in 1978, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not one single stupid mistake I make. Oh, praise his name. It's good for me because I'm ornery, you know? He deserves the highest place of honor and reverence in my life. His forgiveness has brought me into daily intimate fellowship with him. And in a world full of chaos, that relationship gives me a peace and clarity that nothing else can. That relationship with him puts a firm foundation underneath my feet that gives me a peace and clarity in a crazy world that nothing else can. The fear of the Lord is a powerful spiritual principle that will set you free from the opinions and thoughts of others. And this is a quote. I don't know who said it. "The more God-conscious we are, the less self-conscious we are." So as we get our eyes on him every single day and make him the most important thing in our life, then we become less self-conscious. And everything else, seek ye first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. And so everything else takes its proper place when we're living in the fear of the Lord. Have you ever had to choose between honoring God and maintaining the approval of someone you respect? That's hard. I've been there. I've had to walk away from two jobs that I truly loved because the Spirit of God within me would not allow me to compromise truth to meet the expectations of my superior. It wasn't easy. It never is. And we're seeing more and more of this happening in our world with this whole woke culture that's coming out. They're trying to insist that we call boys girls and girls boys and try and legitimize and legalize any kind of sin that anybody could get caught up in. Have you lost friendships because of your integrity and your reverence for God? If you're a new believer, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I remember when I got saved, I didn't want to hang around with the bar-hopping people anymore. I didn't want to do that anymore. So I spent a lot of Friday nights alone, and it was hard. It was just me and Jesus. But I chose that I didn't want that lifestyle anymore. Choosing obedience over acceptance can be painful, but it's in those moments that our fear of God is tested and refined. Every single time you say no to the world and yes to Jesus, it's like you're lifting weights. You're lifting spiritual weights. You're just going to get stronger and stronger in your soul. Jesus, in John 15, 18, Jesus said, "The world hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But you are not of the world." So it's bound to happen as Christians in a fallen world that we're going to come up sometimes against things like this that are struggles. The decision we make to walk in the fear of the Lord or yield to the fear of man determines the degree of wisdom we access in our lives. I'm going to read that again. The decisions we make to walk in the fear of the Lord or yield to the fear of man determines the degree of wisdom we access in our lives. Every time you say no to evil and say yes to good, you're just getting stronger and stronger, and you become a brighter and brighter light for the gospel. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be safe." So fearing man is just going to trip you all up. But using the fear of God as your filter, you'll be safe. And I think this was in your homework. Oswald Chambers says, "The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else." So it's almost like you allow God and his righteousness and his holiness to drive the ship. He's in charge and you're not. So there's three things that happen when we fear God and not man. Number one, it brings courage. Number two, it brings integrity. And number three, it brings peace. If you gain you will gain a supernatural courage and boldness that will direct the course of your life. If you choose to walk in the fear of God, you will gain a supernatural courage. Proverbs 14:26-27 says, "In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence." We won't be afraid. We'll have more courage if we walk in the fear of the Lord. To fear God is to give him the highest honor and deepest respect. It draws us into a life of worship, humility, and obedience, making room for his making room for his supernatural life to be lived through us. Fearing God means choosing to obey him, even when it doesn't make sense, when we don't fully understand, or when it costs us something, that great sacrifice. That's when you really know if you're fearing God or not. It's valuing his opinion above every other voice in your head. And tell me you have voices in your head, right? Come on, you do. I do. I have lots of voices. and being set free from the fear of what people think. When we fear God above all else, it really doesn't matter what other people think. We live for an audience of one. When we walk in the fear of the Lord, we become rebels with a cause. I like that. To glorify God is our number one thing we want to do. And if we truly fear him, we will be led by the Holy Spirit. That Spirit will call us to do what feels impossible, like love the same man for 45 years. That's what I've been doing. It's not easy. I'm sure it's not easy for him to love me either. But when I fear the Lord, I'm able to do it. To lay down our pride, to forgive deeply painful offenses. That's what the fear of God is able to do. But in that kind of surrender and trust, miracles are hidden. When we're not thinking about ourselves, when we're dying to self and living for Jesus, he asks us to do the impossible, and he gives us the power to do it, and then we see miracles. That's where we step into the miraculous power of God, who calls into being things that are not. He takes a silly girl that got used to getting bar fights and makes her a pastor's wife. You know, that's how big our God is. And otherworldly supernatural courage and boldness will begin to direct your steps when you live in the fear of God. And I know that stories make things come real, so I thought I'd tell you a story. I was a brand new nurse on the nursing floor. I don't know if it was my first day, but I was brand new. I was still with a mentor, and I was just following her, and she was telling me what to do. And so I'm on the nursing floor. I'm all excited. I got a job in a hospital, and I get to do this. Is fun, and I was so, it took a long time for all the schooling. I got on the floor. I'm on the floor, and I to do what she tells me to do. So she says, Meath, the doctor just called on a phone call, and you need to give an antiemetic, which is to keep you from throwing up, to 130A. And I said, okay, but aren't I supposed to see something? You know, because we have the five rights of administration. Those of you that are nurses know this. The right patient, the right drug, the right time, the right dose, and the right route. You always check. When a doctor writes an order, you check all five of those to make sure that you've got it all right before you give it to the patient. So I said, well, aren't I supposed to read something? Don't I need to look at the five rights of administration? She goes, no. It's okay. I got it. She had been there forever. She was a very old nurse, and they put me with her because she was really good. So I went in, and I gave the shot to 130A. And then we went about our day, doing all the medicines for everybody. She comes back to me. She goes, oh, by the way, it was supposed to be 130B. Yeah. And I went, what? And she goes, yeah, we get, but it's okay. Antiemetic, that's not going to hurt anybody. I just got hired. And so she said, but don't worry about it. So the rest of my day, my gut is wrenched. I'm like, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? I don't want to lose my job. The first week I'm here, I give a medicine to the wrong person, you know? So I went to the Lord and I said, what do I do, Lord? And he said, Meef, what's more important, a job in the hospital or honoring me? And I said, honoring you. I don't even care. They fire me, they fire me. So I made an appointment with my supervisor and I told her what happened, expecting to get fired. She did not fire me. Not only did she did not fire me, she respected me even more because I had the courage to tell the truth. So anyway, that's just one of the times in my life where I have been, I call them the Red Sea moments, you know. If God doesn't show up, I'm going to drown, you know. And I had to obey God and not man. The fear of God asked Abraham to offer Isaac on Mount Moriah. Do not lay a hand on the boy, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your only son from me. So the fear of God asked Abraham to kill his own son, or to be willing to. And Abraham feared God more than he loved his son. The fear of God told Noah to build an ark when it never even rained, I don't think. And so Noah did it. He did all that the Lord commanded him and faced rejection and ridicule from his peers. The fear of God caused Job to stand in great suffering day after day after day. And Job's response was, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Shall I receive good from God and not evil?" And at the end of his life, Job said, I love this, "I have heard about you." After he obeyed in all that suffering and loss that he experienced with his family and the boils or whatever, everything that was all over him, at the end of his life, after he stood in that hard place and feared God there, he said, "I have heard about you from the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen you." It solidified the foundation under Job's feet. It made Daniel stand firm and pray. Daniel prayed to God, even when it meant he would be thrown in the lion's den. God shut the lion's mouth, and Daniel was rescued. And finally, it made Jesus to say, "Not my will, but thy will be done on the cross." Tough place. So we're going to face those Red Sea moments, girls. And I pray that we will have the courage to stand where God has us and trust him above all those feelings and emotions and crazy stuff that we have, that we would just keep surrendering to Jesus Christ and live for an audience of one. When we live in the fear of the Lord, our light begins to expose darkness and reveal the power of God. We become something otherworldly when we live in the fear of the Lord. I think of Erica Kirk standing before, I mean, that podcast went out to over 100 million people. And Erica Kirk, little tiny Erica Kirk, taught the whole world what God's forgiveness looked like by standing there and saying she forgives the man who murdered her husband. Wow, what a powerful, bright light she became in a very dark world. So the number one, when we fear the Lord, we get supernatural courage when we stand with him in whatever we're going through. Number two, when you live with integrity each moment, which creates a solid self-worth. When you live in the fear of the Lord, all of a sudden, you're solid inside. You know good and bad, right and wrong, darkness, light, good and evil. Proverbs 16:6 says, "By the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil." So as we live for an audience of one and fear God above everybody and everything else, it keeps us from a lot of evil and creates a solid self-worth. A.W. Tozer said this, "They try to walk the tightrope between two kingdoms, and they find no peace in either. Their strength is reduced, their outlook is confused, and their joy is taken from them." When we try and live in both kingdoms, we can't do that. We need to live for the kingdom of God. Satan wants you in a constant state of frustration, lacking security and stability, trapped in the consequences of wrong choices. When your life is marked by confusion and compromise, you become easy to manipulate and control by the enemy. When you're weak and confused, then he can manipulate you and control you easier. But when you walk in the fear of the Lord, you are guided by a pure stream of unchanging truth. Can I get an amen? Amen. Isn't that good? When you walk in the fear of the Lord, you are guided by a pure stream of unchanging truth. No matter what this crazy world makes legal, whatever they choose, they just want to legalize every sin because they don't believe in God or sin. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, you are guided by a pure stream of unchanging truth that renews your mind every single morning. Every day that you put your face in the Word of God, you get stronger and your mind gets renewed. Your yes becomes a true yes, and your no becomes a true no. As you learn to fear God, your life is built on integrity and righteousness, placing a solid foundation underneath your feet. Ephesians 4:14 says, "We are no longer children, tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine and trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming." We're no longer children of the world. Our Father is the King of Kings. And that pure stream can lead us. Psalm 37:31 says, "The law of God is in her heart, her steps do not slip." I love that one. I'm going to make it into a big thing to hang in my living room. The law of her God is in her heart. As we spend time with him and grow in the word of God, it's in our heart and our steps do not slip. And then Proverbs 31, famous, the girl, Proverbs 31, I love her. She convicts me, but I love her. A woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. Her kids will be praising her, her husband will be praising her, her friends will be praising her. She will be praised. Joy Dawson says this in the book that I recommended. The fear of the Lord is evidenced in our lives by instant, joyful, and whole obedience to God. That is biblical obedience. That when God tells us to do something, we say, yes, sir. We don't question. We do what he says. Anything else is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. Doing what God has asked us to do with murmuring and grumbling is disobedience. She's a tough one, Joy Dawson. I like her. Because she tells the truth. And you know for your own children, you love it when they have a responsibility or a chore or you ask them to do something and they joyfully do it, right? And they don't grumble and complain or only do it halfway or whatever. If we walk in the fear of the Lord and choose to obey the next thing he tells us to do, his holy life will start to manifest through us, and we will become vessels of honor, useful to the master. Because the Holy Spirit lives in us and is able to do the miraculous, is able to do things we never dreamed that could ever be done. So number one, if you walk in the fear of the Lord, you get courage. Number two, when you walk in the fear of the Lord, you'll have integrity and a strong self-worth. Your yes will be yes and your no will be no. You won't be confused. And number three, you'll have peace. You experience peace with God on a daily basis that calms and strengthens the soul, knowing that you're living to please him with every ounce of your being or trying your best. Every minute you seek God is a minute enriched with new life and new power. Every minute you spend seeking God, doing your homework for this Proverbs study or doing your personal devotions or whatever it is you do, every single minute that you spend seeking God your life will become enriched with new life and new power from him. A major part of prayer is listening to God and letting God direct us. He is the Prince of Peace, the Bible says. So if we want peace, spending time with him is where we get it. We begin to know him so well that the thoughts and intentions of his heart permeate our being and our decisions. I've been walking with Jesus now for 45 years. And that's why I want to know his heart. I know I'm not perfect. I want to please him. I want to know his heart so that his thoughts and the intentions of his heart can permeate my being and influence my life. When we fear God and obey him, he gives us a peace that passes understanding. That's a promise from the Bible. The Bible says we can actually have the mind of Christ. The more we spend time with him, as we behold him, we become like him. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 says, he chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless. He wants to make us like himself so that his light would shine brightly at Vons or at school or at work. That as we become like him, as we behold him, we become like him, and we just naturally, the aroma of Christ is just infecting Santee. The only way to be free from sin and the anxiety it produces is to have God's attitude toward it. So I don't know what the Lord's speaking to you today, but if there's a sin in your life that you know that you're not pleasing God with it, I just pray that you go home from this Bible study even and get on your knees and ask God to forgive you and choose to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit so that it's not controlling you anymore. The Bible clearly teaches that those who fear the Lord will experience peace, not necessarily absence of trouble, but a deep, lasting spiritual peace, security, and well-being that comes from trusting and obeying God. Proverbs 19:23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil." And you know, the Bible says that there's none perfect, no, not one. And so, and I am the chief of sinners. God knows me. And so when I go to bed at night, when I lay my head on the pillow, I say to the Lord, "I know I failed you today. I know I didn't love Gary the way I could have loved him today, or my kids. And so, Lord, I just ask you to forgive me, wash me clean, and help me to wake up in the morning with a heart that would want to obey and listen hard." Fearing God frees you, now I can't see, frees you from fearing people. It anchors your life in unchanging truth and gives you the courage to make bold, countercultural choices to do the right thing, even when your feelings resist. You are able to make contrary choices to honor God above all else, and you will be drawn closer to Him with every single contrary choice you make. To fear God is to hate evil, and when we begin to love what He loves and hate what He hates, our lives will be marked by greater courage, greater integrity, and greater peace. We avoid much of the drama, confusion, and frustration that comes from living by impulse and compromise. And I just want to end with Malachi. This is one of my favorite verses. Usually I start the women's ministry out with it because it's such a great verse, but it really applies to this study, the fear of the Lord. It's Malachi 3:16, and it's actually what we do here every Tuesday morning and Tuesday night. It says this: "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another," around their tables, right? "And the Lord gave attention, and He heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem His name." So, I mean, that's what the Bible says. It says that when we sit around our tables, the women who fear the Lord sit around their tables and talk about the Lord, that a book of remembrance is written. And He says, at the very end, He says, "They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I pray, Lord, that we would be women that would give you the highest place in our hearts. And Lord, we are living sacrifices. We tend to wiggle off that throne. We want to be a living sacrifice for you. But Lord, we tend to wiggle off. So I just pray, Lord, that each morning we would start afresh to be women that would want to fear you and honor you and revere you with our words, with our choices, and with our jobs and with our families. And now I pray you bless the girls at their tables. In Jesus' name, amen.